Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus. Oh, how good and how blessed it is for brothers to get together in unity. And the precious oil upon Aaron's head. God through his beard and down to the edge of his skirt of his garment. So I would say, oh Lord God, there in that unity, the Lord command his blessing. Lord, oh God, we thank you for the unity of the people of God. And you know, in this place in particular, Lord, we want to thank you, Lord. That's why we get many answers to prayer, because we are in unity by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we thank you this morning. We see that unity working right here, sharing testimony of the wonderful thing the Lord is doing in our life and the life of our children, working out all problems that we may be facing. They all be worked out in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. So we want to read your word this morning, Father. Bible says the word of the Lord is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Therefore, we shall never walk in darkness. Darkness is filling the heart now and brought darkness upon the people. But Lord, because we have the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the light of life. And you come out of this word, the word of God. So we thank you for giving us your word, Lord. Lord, no, let that word be mixed together with faith in our heart this day, Lord, that you do us good, not only today, but in all the days to come. Father, we ask in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So this morning, I'm going to continue the same trail of thought of what we have last Sunday. You know, we were dealing in the book of Daniel. So talking about the progressive revelation of the times of the Gentiles. It's not because we don't have other things to talk about or preach, but because if you take notice, you know, we just stopped at the middle of that chapter 7 of Daniel, you know. And we point out that the Lord, if the Lord can refer to that book, when you see the abomination spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the place where he ought not to be there, you know, just take note, and so the Lord show how important the book of Daniel is. He is the prophet of the times of the Gentiles, you know, and we are the Gentile people. So I always refer to Luke 21:24, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, meaning the Jews, right? It has all come to pass, right? And shall be led away captive into all nations. It happened. So, and Jerusalem shall be torn down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. That scripture, that prophecy, most of it have been fulfilled, you know, telling all that we are in transition time. Now, we know that back in 67 war, they got back the city of Jerusalem and so forth. Now, until 1917, Jerusalem was ruled by the Turkish people for 400 years. Jerusalem was ruled by the Turkish people and so forth. Until General Allenby, you know, until November, I believe it's 1917, and some of that, you know, went to liberate Jerusalem and so forth, you know. You know the story. I believe he was a Christian. I don't know all about him. But I think that, the story said that, when he was there in Jerusalem, you know, the Arabs, they have a proverb that for Jerusalem to leave the hand of the Arab and so forth, you will have to bring the water of the Nile River into Jerusalem. And, I mean, it's almost like impossible in those days. But General Allenby, in his time, did that very thing. Ran a pipe out of the Nile River and brought it up to Jerusalem, you know. It happened as well. And, you mess with God. You know, he's the God of God and the Lord of Lords. You know, the omnipotent God. You can't diminish him. He's the Almighty God. Anyway, so now, you know, he didn't want Jerusalem to be destroyed. So he was to liberate Jerusalem. He was to be destroyed. So I think he knelt down, according to the story, in the tent. You know, all this army that you have, he knelt down in the tent and said, well, Lord, what am I going to do? I think he was told that just fly two reconnaissance planes over Jerusalem and so forth. That's what he did. And the Turkish people never saw planes before. When they saw the two planes flying, they took not one single arrow was fired, was shot over Jerusalem. They just surrendered. This is a bad omen. They said, not saw a plane before and so on. Yes, we have another prophecy. Bible says, Isaiah said, as birds flying and so on. You know, God will defend Jerusalem and so on. You know, it happened. So the plane looks like birds flying, right? It has no better way of calling it. You couldn't call it a plane in its days. So you see, the Bible is written for all ages. Amen? Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
For all ages. So you all can understand it and all that, you know. So anyway, so we see that, of course, you know, so that's how they got 400 years and they get to the hand of the Jewish people in 1967 and so forth, you know. And of course, you know, so I think we know where Jerusalem is now, it's in the hands of the, you know, of the Jews and so forth. I don't care what the UN says. Where? One of the reasons why God allowed to talk about this thing is we are living in the last days. People are making a kind of prophecy, whether they matter the Bible or not. A couple of years ago, well, thank God for Trump, you know, but people go out of their way, you know, in the Cyrus. Where is it in the Bible? You know, it says the Cyrus and so forth. I'm telling you, with or without Trump, to the Jew, Jerusalem is always the capital anyway. Praise the Lord. I don't care what the U.S. says or whether they make it and so on. You know, Jerusalem, as far as they know, you know, it's always the capital of Jerusalem and so forth. So in the war, they are going to be choosing prophecy, and they have many followers too. You know, even when the prophecy fails, they still follow their. You know, Bible says you have a person that has a dream or a prophet, and he says it's not going to come to pass. Don't even fear him.
Mm-hmm.
And yet today they still flock around false prophecy of prophecy and so forth. You know, how do we even judge prophecy? It has to align with the word of God. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, making use of it too, this global communication and so forth, you know, it's a medium that will be used mightily by the Antichrist at the end of time. Anyway, but thank God, the gospel is also using it to preach the gospel. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Bible says, take heed to what you hear. Line up with the Bible. You see, if it were possible, it will deceive the very elect. All kind of predictions are being made and so forth, you know. False predictions are not even lined with the Bible and so forth. That's why God believes, you know, I believe he needs to go into these books of the prophecy and so forth to see what the Bible really says. So anyway, so we're going to do part two today.
I heard something yesterday.
Yes.
The Palestinian Christian.
Yes.
Bishop or something.
Yes.
He said that Jesus was a Palestinian Jew.
Okay. All right.
Because the first clean Nazareth, they belong to Palestine.
All right. Okay. I know that. Things are really happening in the world. One preacher, it's in the news. He abandoned Christianity for Judaism. Can you imagine?
Yeah,
it's in the news. You know, it's all about the, you know, Jerusalem Post. Can you imagine from where you have a second chance, man?
Yeah.
The Jew has a second chance, right?
Yes.
They were blinded for our sake, right? But you being here to follow Christ, go back to Jerusalem. I mean, there is a second chance for you. Let people pray for you and you repent, you know? So things are really happening in the world, you know? And so if it were possible, it would be very elect. So this morning, we are talking about the progressive revelation of the times of the Gentiles. Bible says, until the times of the Gentiles will be fulfilled. And then with Jerusalem in the hands of the Jew and so forth, you know, and all that we have been seeing, they're now 75 years in that land and so forth. You know, so we see, you know, we are now in the transition time. Any time now, the gospel will go to the Jews and so forth, that, you know, the church will be gone. You know, the falsehood rapture of the New Testament will be gone. And that is what our session, that is the age you are called to live in. Blessed are our eyes that see these things, you know, and our ears that hear these things, the thing which the prophets and kings desire to see. Even those who wrote it, the Bible says you have to understand it. The Bible says, don't worry about it. It's not for you, for people to come. And you and I are those people who are watching this very thing. So I believe what the Lord said, this generation will not pass away until all this thing be fulfilled, again the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for the church. We dare the day or the hour, praise the Lord. But we are in the season, we know that one. Bible said us and so on that, you know. So we're going to pick up where we left at now. So Daniel is the prophet of the time of the Gentiles, really, you know. So maybe you can kind of, you know, so we stop on the ninth verse, I believe, on the book of Daniel, the seventh chapter, last Sunday. So now this is part two of the progressive revelation of the times of the Gentiles. Now, recorded the seventh chapter of the book of Daniel, there are three visions that Daniel had. So this time he had his own vision. Before, other people had vision. Nebuchadnezzar had a basic vision. The time of the Gentiles began with Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon. That's how when it began. Now, before that time, before the Jews sinned, and they went into Assyrian captivity, you know, then 100 years later, Judah went into Babylonian captivity. That is where the time of the Gentiles begin, you know. So where the Jews are born into captivity and so forth, the 10 northern kingdoms, we call them Israel, went into Assyrian captivity. Till today, there is no record that they were back. But we know in the book of Ezekiel, they are going to come back at the end of time. Where they are today, we don't know. People are speculating where they are. No answer. We don't know where they are, but God knows where they are. Praise the Lord. So we know that. So only then the two tribes of the south called Judah, they also went to captivity, and as Jeremiah prophesied in 25 chapter of his book and so on like that, you know. But they came back after 70 years, the time of Daniel the prophet and so forth. In fact, that 70 years was going to run out when Daniel was in Babylon. It was 68 years already, and from that, you know. Anyway, so we'll see. So the time of the Gentile began, and Nebuchadnezzar, you know, and so forth and that. And then it will end in the last king of the Gentiles. The Antichrist is the last king of the Gentiles. That's when the time of the Gentiles ends. And the kingdom of God will take a hold, and the kingdom that have no end. Amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. That's what I see right now. Anyway, So he says now has three visions of his own, meaning Daniel. So the first of those three visions are the four wild beasts, which we talked about last Sunday. Just to have a continuity of thought, I can't just summarize that one. Then we go to the next two visions that we had in that chapter. Now, there is a singular correspondence between the vision of these four beasts and the four kingdoms that Nebuchadnezzar saw in the image in chapter 2 that Daniel interpreted. And to refresh your mind, you have that image has the head of gold, which we know was Babylon. And it has the palms and breast of silver in the Persian Empire. It has the belly of brass and thigh of brass, which is a Grecian Empire. I have Rome as the legs of iron. The Bible is ahead of history, in fact, and some of that, you know. So we know Daniel already prophesied of the Roman Empire, so that's the two legs of iron. So we know that Roman Empire split into two, you know, and then you have the East and Western Roman Empire, and some of that, you know. Then to the toes, and of iron and clay, and so forth, you know. So now Daniel has his own vision. It is a progressive revelation. God gave him the same revelation, you know, of the time of the Gentile kingdom, adding more and more to what is shown in Nebuchadnezzar. That's what is happening in this chapter right now. And so what I'm saying here, so there is a singular correspondence between the vision of the four beasts that Daniel saw and the four kingdoms that Nebuchadnezzar image depicted and so forth. So now, in summary, in Daniel chapter 7 verse 3, it says this, and four great beasts came up from the sea, divers one from another. He said the first was a lion, was like a lion, he said, which he went through last week and so forth, and they had eagle's wings. I beheld to the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. So we see last Sunday what that really means and so forth, that you know. So we know it was Babylon and so forth, that you know, that this one represented and so on, because the lion all through Nineveh, the past in the palaces of the kings of Nineveh and Babylon, you have the picture of lions all over the place and so on, and also the eagle and so forth. So the identification of this first beast with Babylon is shown by the fact that Nebuchadnezzar is also described as a lion in the book of Jeremiah, which we read last week. Jeremiah 4:6 says so, and 4:6 and 7, without me going to read that one again today. Also, we know that also Babylon was also identified with the eagle. Ezekiel 17:2 says that, Son of man, put forth a riddle and speak a parable unto the house of Israel, and say, thus said the Lord God, a great eagle with great wings, long-winged full of feathers, which are diverse colors, came unto Lebanon, and took the highest branch of the cedar. Say now to the rebellious house, know ye not what these things mean? Tell them, behold, the king of Babylon is come to Jerusalem, and has taken the king thereof, and the princes thereof, and I have led them with him to Babylon. So we see this first beast then is Babylon. It corresponds to the head of gold of Nebuchadnezzar's image. That's what I'm trying to bring out there. It's a continuity of revelation, you know. God adds more to what he gave Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel's own thing. That is the summary of the whole thing. Continuous revelation, you know, progressive revelation of the time of the Gentiles. Daniel 7:5, another beast, he says, the second one, like a deer. So without me reading, and it raised up itself on one side, and had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it, and they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh, he says. And last week, so we see the deer is identified with the Medo-Persian Empire. It corresponded to the silver and the right shoulder and arm of the image of Nebuchadnezzar's image. And we noted that the three ribs in the mouth of the deer stood for Persia's conquest of three countries. In 547 BC, he conquered Lydia. Lydia is a country in ancient Asia Minor. Then number two, between 540 and 549 BC, they conquer Susiana, they call it, an ancient country, southwestern modern-day Iran. And also the third country they conquer, the rest of Asia Minor, mostly present-day Turkey. So those are the three ribs. That's how we know that that is even history and so forth, you know. So the three ribs in the mouth of the deer are the three countries that I mentioned right now that the Persian conquered and so forth, you know. So it is the Medo-Persian Empire that deer represents. Then verse 6 of Daniel 7 goes to say, after this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four head, and dominion was given to it. So we were able to see the characteristic of the leopard render it fitting symbol of the rapid conquest of the Grecian Empire under Alexander the Great. So we know that. So that leopard represents the Grecian Empire under Alexander the Great. We noted that the four heads represent the four kingdoms into which the empire of Alexander the Great was divided after his death. Those four kingdoms are Thrace. Thrace is an encompassed territory that now lies in northeastern Greece, southeastern Bulgaria, and the European part of Turkey. Second one is Macedonia, ancient Macedonia, and so forth, you know. And the third one is Syria and Egypt. Those are the three countries that which Grecian Empire was divided.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
So the Bible, the Bible foretold all these things and so forth. So when he died, his four generals, and so forth, divided the kingdom into four. So you have one of them is Thrace, Macedonia, Syria, and Egypt. So you know that and so on, you know. Then Daniel 7:7. After this, I saw in the ninth vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and break in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 arms. I considered the arms, he said, and behold, there came up among them another little arm, before whom there were 3 of the first arms plucked off by the root. That may be exactly what you are talking about. I don't know, but we see. And behold, in this arm were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. So we see that there, that that nondescript beast is talking about Rome, the Roman Empire, and some of that, you know. So because we see the iron teeth and some of that, you know. So it's like the Roman Empire and so forth, that, you know. And so we see. And that is what the four beasts, that is the four, one of the 3 visions that Esau, you know, the 4 wild beasts. That's why we stopped last week, although we expanded a lot on that. So this morning, we're going to go forward. So the second of the 3 visions is the scene of a judgment. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. Second vision that Daniel had in that chapter. In Daniel chapter 7 verse 9, I beheld the thrones were cast down, and the ancient of days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his hair like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wings as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld then the cause of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed, and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. So here we have an introduction of a judgment scene, and a vision of our Lord Jesus Christ receiving the kingdom. It was a revelation of the judgment that shall fall on the Gentile nations, and the manner in which our Lord Jesus Christ shall receive the kingdom. The information was not given in Nebuchadnezzar's dream. That's why we call it the progressive revelation of the time of the Gentiles, right? An additional information, you know, that God gave in Daniel's dream wasn't present in Nebuchadnezzar's dream at all, you know. So this information was not given in Nebuchadnezzar's dream of the golden-headed image. It was given to Daniel to help him fill out God's program concerning the Gentile nations, really. Thus, Daniel was receiving step by step the light as to the things that should come to pass in the latter times, or if you want, the time of the end, meaning the end of this present age we are living in right now. That's why we should study this book and know what the Bible is saying. When people are talking, we can understand. You can discern between the wrong and the right and things like that, you know. So this judgment scene is not... There are many judgment scenes in the Bible, really, you know. So this one we're talking about here is not the great white throne judgment that will only come after the millennium. The white throne is after the millennium. So we know that. It's not that one. That is Revelation 20. We're only going to go there. 11 to 15. That's not the one he's talking about here. That one will take place after the millennium, the white throne. And it's not the judgment seat of Christ, which we talk about here many, many times and so forth. 2 Corinthians 5, and then, and so forth, that, you know. We know the judgment seat of Christ is where the Lord gives reward to the saints. We are not judged for sins. Christ has been judged once and for all for our sins. Praise the Lord Jesus. It's to receive reward for what you have done for the Lord, you know. That's why we are careful that chapter in 1 Corinthians, how you build upon this upon this, you know, this foundation that has been laid and so forth, you know. Some people, some of the work will be burnt. If you do it with love and so on, and there have been no reward, how will the job for sin anymore? Because the Bible says in John chapter 5, as a Christian, you won't call it your condemnation anymore. No more judgment. He has been judged for us once and for all. Praise the name of the Lord. So the judgment being spoken here, not that one at all, really. So anyway, so the judgment seat of Christ, will come after the rapture. That's all we know. So the one being spoken here by Daniel is a different one. Now, the judgment scene mentioned here in the book of Daniel is that of the Gentile nations, as represented by the four white beasts we're talking about in this chapter and so on. They be judged and so on, that you know. This is so because the outcome of the judgment, Daniel saw the fourth white beast, which we know is Rome, right? The Roman Empire. Which is the Roman Empire, slain, Bible says, we read it before, and its body destroyed and given to the burning flame, as we read earlier on. This is figurative language describing the destruction of the Roman Empire at the end of the age, you know. So we see that one in here. The beast mentioned in Revelation 13:1-8 is the same as the little arm of Daniel 7. You see? We talked last week about these two prophets and so forth. They were given this revelation at their old age. They were all called the Beloved. Was called John the Beloved. Daniel was called, that was greatly beloved. And it was given to them, the end of the age, it was because of their faithfulness and dedication to the cause of the living God. So therefore, in fact, the two books complement each other. So what I'm saying here, the beast mentioned in Revelation 1-8, we're going to read it later, is the same as the little arm of Daniel 7. And this should not be confused anyway with the fourth white beast of this Daniel 7, which is the Roman Empire that will be slain. On the other hand, the little horn or the beast of Revelation 13 is not slain, as we know. Why? Because rather, it was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 19:20 tells us this. It said, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. So we know the difference right there. Why the first white beast, the Roman Empire, will be destroyed as a result of this judgment in Daniel 7, as something that you know. The other beast, the lion, meaning the lion, which is Babylon, the bear, the Persian Empire, and the leopard, the Grecian Empire, you know, all of this one, and some of that, you know, we simply have their dominion taken from them. They won't be destroyed like they destroyed Rome or Roman Empire. Bible says they will have their dominion taken from them, but their lives are prolonged for a season and a time, as we read in Daniel 7:12, just now. That's why these nations are still today in existence. Babylon is Iraq. Persia is Iran. Grecian Empire is the Greece of today. So we know. So Roman Empire will be destroyed, but this is the other three one. The Bible tells us in this prophecy that they will be there, and so on, for a time and a season. The judgment scene described in the vision is identical to what is in Revelation chapter 5, and refers to the heavenly scene at the time of the end of the age, just before God's judgment are poured out upon the earth. Let's read a one or two verses in Revelation chapter 5 and compare to that of Daniel chapter 7 and see that they are the same thing and so on. Revelation 5:1 says this, and I saw in the night, I saw in the right hand of him that sat on his throne a book. I stopped right there. Then verse 11. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about his throne, and the beasts, and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Do not just read it like in Daniel 7:9 we read before. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the ancient of days did sit. Verse 10. And a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him, thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him, just like God showed it to John on the Isle of Patmos. The same Lord Jesus, you know, showed this thing to Daniel and so forth, you know. And the Bible says here, within, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened, the Bible said. So the thrones being cast down can mean one or two things in there. It may have reference to the earthly thrones of the 10 kings that will rise up, you know, with the Antichrist and so forth, dealing with the beast and so forth, the little horn, at the end of the age. But primarily, as I said before, it speaks of the prince of the power of the air, actually. And the subordinate princes who reign in the heavenly, as we are told in Ephesians 6:12. So I put it into two sides. Could be those 10 kings and so forth, the cast down and so on, reigning with the Antichrist and so on. But primarily we believe it refers to the heavenly, you know, in Ephesians 6:12. Let me read that. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Also about satanic things, Revelation 12:7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So we look at two viewpoints there. We believe primarily it refers to these satanic things here. It could also be those 10 kingdoms, the throne being cast out and so on, that, you know. You can look at it, you know, in both ways and so on, that, you know. That is the second vision that Daniel had and so forth, the judgment scene and so on, and back up by the book of Revelation and things like that, you know. Now, the third vision that he saw in that chapter of Daniel 7, the Son of Man received the kingdom. That is in Daniel 7:13. We read that one. So, there are three visions he saw. The four white beasts, then the scene of the judgment. Now, the third one, the Son of Man. These are all Gentile era events, right? Daniel 7:13. And I saw in the ninth vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days. Now, this is very careful now. He mentioned the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days. And they brought him near before him. Verse 14. And there was given him dominion and glory, and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that we shall not be destroyed, the Bible says. So now what we see here, many scriptures reveal. People will be wondering, the Ancient of Days, the Son of Man, and some of that, you know. So now, but we know, Many scriptures reveal that the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father are one and the same. Yes, let's see a couple of them. Jesus said in John 10:30, I and my Father are one. And the Jews know what he was talking about. Thou being man, making thyself God, they tell him. He told him and something that you know. They were blinded, didn't he? You know, something that you know, so they were blinded. And so also we know in John 14 now, he that has seen me has seen the Father. We are saying that the Bible tells us all over the place. He's hidden from the wise and the prudent. Reveal unto babes, the child of God. Unless you become like little children. Can't even see the kingdom of heaven, the Lord said. You know, and so on that, you know. Hidden from the wise and the prudent. Reveal unto babes such as we learn, we are told. He that has seen me, the Lord said, has seen the Father. And how seest thou then? Show us the Father. 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. And in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, meaning Christ. Christ is the Word, right? And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And one more scripture, many scriptures, in fact the whole Bible, showing all the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 John 5:7, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, which is Christ, and the Holy Ghost. The Bible says these three are one. Many scriptures that believe that Christ and the Father, they are one. So with the scriptural revelation that God and Christ are one and the same, their titles, that's where I'm going now, their titles can be used interchangeably. So the Ancient of Days then is a title applied equally, to either the Son of God or the Father. And I know why I say this, because you will see something right now as you go on along and turn that, you know. So the title, Ancient of Days can be applied equally to either the Son of God or to the Father. It applies to Christ as the judge in this case, because we are told in John chapter 5 verse 22, for the Father judges no man, right? But he has committed all judgment unto the Son. So he's appearing here as a judge. No, I know that, you know. And in the 13th and 14th verses of Daniel, which we read, Christ is seen as the Son of Man, which I just read before, coming in the clouds of heaven, at which time he meets the Ancient of Days, and he receives from him the kingdom. Now, we know from the other scripture that Christ is to receive the kingdom from the Father. So I'm going to dissect the confusion. There are so many things, mysteries, surely, about our Lord Jesus Christ. I always say this. Now, he only show us what we need to know. I believe in Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong unto God, and some of that, you know. But that which has been revealed belongs unto us and our children. What God has not revealed, leave it alone. Amen. If you delve into it, you go into error. And so even go into sin. Anyway, there are so many things about the Father and the Christ and so forth, but he has shown us in nutshell, they are one and the same. So the mystery of him, the Son of Man, taking him from the Ancient of Days, leave it to God, you know. Now, also, confusing the devil too, you know, the way the Lord does things and so like that, you know. Anyway, so we see. Now, so we know. Now, to show that Christ is to receive the kingdom from the Father. And we show that Ancient of Days is the Father. Let's see how Christ in other places received the kingdom. On the Mount of Temptation, Satan tried to offer the Lord Jesus Christ a kingdom. But the Lord, of course, indignantly refused it. That's in Luke chapter 4, verses 8, verses and so forth. Later, when the Lord fed the multitude with the loaves of bread and fishes, the people sought to take him by force. And make him king. He refused that also. His true kingdom was the one that he will receive directly from the Father. And this is portrayed in the parable of Luke chapter 19. I can read 2 verses from there, 19 of Luke 11 to 12. Because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear, he spake this parable. A certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. The Bible says, Christ will receive the kingdom from the Father at the sounding of the trumpet of the seventh angel. That's what the Bible tells us. Talking of in Revelation 11:15. So I'm just trying to say that, that Ancient of Days is the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, once. Yeah. And also the Father. Anyway, so I'm saying that when does he receive the kingdom? We are told in Revelation 11:15. Let me read that. And the seven angels sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. The Bible is his own interpreter. No scripture is of private interpretation. I always say that. I believe with all my heart. No scripture is of private interpretation at all. So, holy men of God, speak as you are moved by the Holy Ghost. It's a fearful thing. In Revelation, let no man add to the prophecy of this book, he said that. If any man does it, all the plague in the book is added to that person and so forth. And let no man remove anything from the prophecy of this book, we are told. Anybody does it, his name shall be removed from the book of life. That's not the word of man, that's the word of the living God. Anyway, let's keep on to see. So in the judgment of, the place where, the scenery where Christ was receiving the kingdom. I just stop right there on that one because of time. I can go on and on like that. Anyway, now something happened to Daniel. The effect of these three visions. Now there are three visions. We got the four white beasts. We got the scene of the judgment. We got the scene of Christ receiving the kingdom. Anyway, so the effect of these three visions of Daniel was trouble his spirit, because we are told in Daniel 7:15. Daniel was grieved. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit, in the midst of my body. And the visions of my head troubled me, he said. So what was troubling Daniel actually? What troubled him the most was the character of the four wild beasts and the meaning of the little horn. So he thought to ask a heavenly bystander what these things really mean, There was a heavenly bastard by him, so he thought to ask him what these things mean. In Daniel 7:16, I come near unto one of them, a heavenly bastard, I will call him, that stood by, and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. So the Bible is all interpreter, right? He will interpret everything here. That's what I was saying. Now, disputation, verse 17. These great beasts, which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. Verse 18. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, forever and ever. It says there.
That interpretation,
what is the first dream or second dream? We're talking about all of them now.
Together?
Yeah, together.
Okay.
The angel, the heavenly bystander was taken to interpret this thing to him.
Mm-hmm.
That's right there. So he said the four beasts are four kings. That's what he's saying. Mm-hmm. So that's what he's saying right here. Now, the interpretation by this heavenly bystander of the four great beasts as four kings, he says, we shall arise out of the earth, identify them with the four kingdoms represented by the four metals of the image in Nebuchadnezzar's dream, you know, which in turn we know by now are Babylon, Medo-Persia, Grecia, and Roman empires. The interpretation went on to say that the saints of the Most High will wrestle the power of this kingdom from them and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever, the Bible says. And the reply of the heavenly bastarder did not seem to Daniel to be full enough. You see, what more information? He was curious. I mean, we should be curious to know about all we can know about the things of the Lord. And for generations to come, for us to understand these things, so God put in his heart to make more inquiry and so forth. He did not, for example, explain the meaning of the fourth white beast and of the little arm. You see, on that fourth white beast, rather, 10 arms. And out of his study, that a little arm pop up, you know, among them and so forth. So he was kind of perplexed by these things. So at the mission of the little arm, who was to make war on the saints of the Most High, it was the conduct of this little arm that perplexed and troubled Daniel. Let's see that in Daniel chapter 7 verse 19. Then I will know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And of the 10 arms that were in his head, and of the other which came up, that the little arm, and before whom three fell. Maybe that we address our sisters. I don't know if that addressed your issue.
Yeah.
So anyway, and the little arm, you see, I caught it even more fully. Even of that arm that had eyes, and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. Then I recorded something strange here. Well, I won't call it strange. He recorded what he did not mention in the first description of the fourth white beast. There are two descriptions here of that fourth beast. Progressive revelation, right? So now, so here is what he didn't say in the first description, verse 21. I, the head, and the same horn, meaning the little horn, made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Now, this additional description of his vision of the fourth white beast helps the explanation of the heavenly bystanders that we see in, let's look at Daniel 7:23 to help us understand it. Let's see from Daniel 7:23, you know, to 27, quickly read that one. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth. Begin to explain to him and for us and for posterity and to the end of the age. See, the Gentile era, right? And fourth kingdom upon the earth, we shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. And the 10 arms out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise. That's your little one right there. And that shall arise after them, and it shall be diverse from the first, and it shall subdue three kings. That's what I was talking about.
Okay.
So, subdue three kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time, and a time, and the dividing of time. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. 27 verse. and the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So in this thing that I just read now, there are two figures, I mean, in the interpretation that demand our attention, and between which we must distinguish. Number one, this fourth beast. Number two, that little horn that had eyes, and the mouth in the little horn, and so forth. We all know by now the fourth beast speak of Rome, the fourth great kingdom, out of which you come 10 kingdoms, you know. And the fourth beast speak of Rome, you see, it's Rome, the fourth great empire or kingdom, I think that you know. The Roman Empire has never appeared in this form, as we speak right now, no? So, it is yet to be revived. There will be a revived Roman Empire in this age we are living in, or call it reconstituted politically Roman Empire in this close of the age. This 10 kingdom confederacy will become a great, great world power. See? According to what the scripture is telling us here. Yeah? Out of it will come forth a little arm who will exercise mighty power. Bible says for a time and times and dividing of time. That's for 1260 days, 3.5 years, or 42 months. See? 1260 days and so on. He will speak blasphemies against God and will wire out the saints, the Bible says, of the Most High. The rise of the beast and its blasphemous reign is one of the most important revelations of this book of Daniel and so on. No, don't forget the last ruler of the Gentile Empire is the Antichrist. That's what we are saying. No, I'm sorry. Then the kingdom of God will be ushered in, right? The first part of the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation corresponds to this vision of Daniel. And for that purpose, we take liberty to read the first 7 verses of the book of Revelation, the 13th chapter, and you can see the comparison for yourself. Let me quickly read that one, and I'm going to be wrapping up in a few minutes.
Before you,
yes, 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 yes.
So if Roman Empire is revived and the tensions will come from there, you mean America will be subservient, all of America at that period, and how do we relate that
to? So basically, so the Antichrist really, where you know you have dominion over all the hard passes, you know. But he has dominion over certain areas, maybe in the European, especially and so on, you know. So, and, you know, so America, just as far as I know, don't forget at the end of time, America will be one of, where the attackers will rise, you know, at the end of time and so forth. He worked hand in glove with the common, the king of the north, and the king of the east too. He worked, so three things, communism, Antichrist and so forth, and Romanism, they will all work hand in glove at the end. Now, the 10 kings that are working with the Antichrist and so forth, they will turn and burn the Vatican, the Roman Empire, at the end of time and so forth, you know. Now, you see, both the Antichrist and the Russians and so forth, they are all eyeing the Middle East. They are fighting for their own part of the Middle East. Middle East is the gateway to the rest of the world, the center of the world, and so that you know. Of course, Palestine and so forth. Anyway, so initially, both the Antichrist and the King of the North will work together with the Antichrist. But now, there are the trouble, disagreements occur between them and so forth. So the King of the North will come down and so forth, and that you know. And also, you know, will come down, you know, to Palestine and so on, and that you know. So anyway, there is a coalition. So it's coming to take its point, right? Bible says the king of the south, I believe America and the English-speaking countries, you know, maybe Australia, you know, and some of that, you know. Oh, I feel called to take its point. So that's where America belongs. To me, I find the end of the age is concerned in Bible prophecy, you know. So, I mean, I distinguish it from the 10 kings and some of that, you know. It's just standing by itself. And so, but it's going to play a major role, I believe, Many Bible scholars believe he's part of the king of the south. See what is happening in the Middle East right now. I think last Monday I said it, I don't know. Right now, while Putin was in China, Biden was in Israel. I don't say anything about anything, but I'm not saying that crucial events, the kind of the shadow before. Simultaneously, see the king of the East and the king of North are meeting together. And even the king of Europe now came to Jerusalem or to Tel Aviv and from that, you know. That's right, we came, right? That's right. So the things are really forming, you know, showing what's going to come and from like that, you know. So we see the things are really forming and so forth, you know. Don't worry. And this also happened under the eclipse of the sun. Crossing signs, right? There are crossing signs. Praise the Lord. The weather is working because we have the earthquake. Two earthquakes, I mean, in Afghanistan, you know, just in 1 week, about one week ago and so forth, great earthquake in Morocco, simultaneously and so forth, you know, and so this is happening. So here is what I see, America and so on, we are going to get involved and so forth. Initially, they won't do anything about the Antichrist, because why? Initially, it says the friend of the Jews, right? America is the friend of the Jews, right? When the Antichrist begins to manifest, it will start to favor the Jews. Probably even headed to build a temple and so forth, which is difficult to build right now. Maybe when he steps in with his corny and evil genius he is and so on, the first Joseph he comes, try to even headed to build a temple and so forth. America will think that maybe he's a friend of the Jews. But later on, when persecution comes against the Christian, when he shows himself to who he is, and begins to persecute Christians and so on, right, you know. When he meets them in the temple and say, I'm now God and so on, oh, this is who you are. And the king of the north coming to take his boy and say, then he will arise and so forth, you know, Deda and Sheba, so that, you know, look on that, okay, praise God, blessed be the name of the Lord. We are going to wrap this up by saying that the book of Revelation says something about the little horn, and let me quickly go through the Revelation chapter 13 verse 1 to 7 really quickly, and we see how it compares to what we see in the book of Daniel about the little horn, and we close from there. Starting of Revelation 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. What did Daniel 7:24 say? And the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise. Now go back. Revelation 13:2. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and its feet were as the feet of a deer, as those the same animals mentioned in Daniel chapter 7. And his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his head as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Then watch closely, verse 5 to 7 verses, very closely. I'm going to draw you another parallel between that Daniel 7. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy. Verse 5 of Revelation 13. These three verses, I'm going to draw a more parallel accession to Daniel 7. Anyway, and that 5 of Revelation. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. That's a 3.5 years of time and something like that, you know. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Now that is in the book of Revelation. Isn't that what we read in Daniel chapter 7, beginning for 24 and 25? Now read. And the ten horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. That's the same thing as the 42 months. So you see, you know, they are complementing each other, the same prophecy and so on, that, you know. So in other words, that little on we see in the book of Daniel, the same date we see in Revelation 13, that was the same right here, because they are saying the same thing. Anyway, the scriptures have much to say about this strange personage who appears on the world scene at the end of this age that you and I are living in, by his wicked acts, during the great tribulation, when it's ushered in. So, concerning this time, the Lord said, in finishing this morning, this time we're talking about and so forth, the Lord had it to say in Matthew 24:21, for there shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. The Lord tell you and I, verse 25, behold, I have told you before. Praise the Lord. Amen. I always look at that word, behold, I have told you before, you know. And so there will be nations that will resist this Antichrist. Anyway, there are the nations that resist this man when his ruthless character is fully revealed. We are told that 3 of the 10 kings fight against him, but they will be utterly crushed. That's in Daniel 7:20. And of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which come up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that speaketh very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. Verse 24 says, and the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse, from the fourth, and he shall subdue 3 kings. Just to repeat myself on that note, the importance of that, the importance of that and so forth, So the masses at that time will be in a state of mind to accept a superman when this little of this arises. So this, look at the word, is in just Bible says distress of nations, right? We are right there. So they'll be ready in their mind to accept a superman who appears able to restore law and order. You say, anarchy all over the world, right? Anarchy and so on, set up and so on. However, once established in this position of power, he will reveal himself in his true character as the worst tyrant the world has ever known. And among them, other sincerely, we demand worship, just like the old Roman emperors did. It has happened before. Yeah. Do the same thing. And we know, naturally, those who know the scriptures, who are still here, they don't go in the rapture and so forth, who know the scriptures, will resist doing obeisance to him. The diabolical nature of the beast will then be fully revealed, and will persecute and destroy any who take the name of Christ, even as Hitler sought to eradicate the Jews. This campaign of extermination will be implemented through the giving of the mark of the beast, without which no man buy or sell, as we are told in Revelation 13 and 17. I read it, I quickly in closing that scripture here, and it causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had a mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and its number is 666. So there is much more that can be said about this little horn. So we will just kind of devote another session to it. I think it's worth a whole session by itself, that little horn, and just kind of summarize, you know, it here this morning and so forth. Maybe one more time of the progressive revelation of the time of the Gentiles. I don't know when. I don't think it's next week. I don't know when. So we talk about that little horn because it's worth it to know the time we are living and so on, that you know. And thereby we'll conclude this series and so forth. Now let us hear the word of the Lord. Having said all these things, Luke 21:36. Watch ye therefore. We are doing all these things to come to this verse here, which is speak every day. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Praise ye the Lord. So let us keep our eye on the Lord. The Lord told us in Mark 13, what I say unto you, I say unto all. Watch. The Bible says, in another place, saying that I will think not. The Son of Man cometh. Let us trust him to supply all our needs. You know, he is the Lord God of Elijah. And Elijah says, God will supply their needs at the end of time too, you know. No matter what the economy of the world is saying, as we keep our eyes on him, he already told us in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us. Those are not idle words, you know. So, our God shall supply all our need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. One of the things about this series is this, to see how Bible prophecy got fulfilled in history, and we can rely upon every word and promise of God. That's one of the things we are doing here, so we can safely trust the word of God. Every promise he made to you and I, they are true. Bible says he watches over his words to perform it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord God, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, for revealing to us, Lord, oh God, what shall be in this time we are living in. Blessed are they that heareth and readeth the word of this prophecy and do those things which are written in them, for the time is at hand. Lord, help us not to be hearers only, but doers of the word, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that will not be of them that was in the days of Noah, who after all the long preaching and so forth, they went that merry, merry way. Many things they are doing is not because they are not legal, married, but they just live for that only. You know, and money and eating, you can eat to live, but don't live to eat. So all those things, Lord, told us. So Lord, help us, Lord. He be also ready. So help us to always be ready. Whether you come in the first watch, help us to be ready. Or in the second watch, help us to be ready, Lord. Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. As it is weak for us, he that overcometh, he said, as I also overcame. Help us, and help us to set our mind, a mindset, burn the bridge behind us between us and the world. In the name of the Lord, and make our eyes single, like David of old prophesied. One thing, not two, one thing I find, desire of the Lord, that will I seek after. That may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, he said, and to inquire in his temple. Lord, the Bible says, so making your eyes single. Help us to make our eyes single, Lord, and that in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has promised we supply our needs. So we don't have to have anxiety. Just commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. And, you know, the Bible says he will do it. And not, pass sparrows through for a farthing or so. Look at the birds of the air and so forth. You know, he told us in so many ways. What about the lily? They don't spin, they don't toil. Yet your heavenly Father clothes them. How much will he clothe you, you of little faith, Lord, and so on. So we thank you for your promise, Lord. We thank you for showing us what we need to do to be ready and to escape all this that shall come to pass. And Lord, not only us, but we are out, O Lord. Thank you for enlightening us in your word. As we go this morning, Lord, we are trusting you, Lord. You have promised us we shall have favor before all men that matter to us. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, help us to let the light of our Lord Jesus Christ so shine that men will see it and give you glory. In the mighty name of Jesus. And above us, Lord, O God, as the scripture has taught us, Lord, O God, that when you appear, we will not be ashamed in that day, Lord, but confident in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we hear that sound come up either. That is unto us, Lord. And I will ask in Jesus' name. Praise to the Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. Praise God.